in your Bibles tonight to 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. How many of you remember that old song, I don't know, Roger Miller sang, King of the Road? Oh, how many of you remember that? Yeah, some of you do. He said he was had a King of the Road. Well, one of the movies of the, you see the Titanic, when Leonardo DiCaprio sang or said on the front of the ship, I'm the king of the world. All along through history, there have been those who have aspired to be the king of the world. They either wanted to dominate the world or dominate people and rule the entire world. In history, early, Alexander the Great was one of those men who wanted to be king of the world. And then there was Hitler and Stalin and Napoleon. And as you read the Word of God, right here, there's those who we see that want to be king of the world. In the Bible, I believe we talked about Nimrod building that tower so he could reach God or get close to God or whatever. And then there was Nebuchadnezzar, a king that decided he would be ruler. And God turned him to a donkey. The Bible teaches us that this world does have a ruler. And the Bible teaches us that Satan is the prince of the world. Look at chapter 2, let's start with verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you that I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, he that may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God and how you speak through us through the Word of God. And tonight, Lord, in this study, as we look at the Bible and what it says here, Lord, that we might see what is happening and what's going to happen, and be ready in our own life. For we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. In Daniel, he is referred to as the little horn. In Revelation, he's called the rider on the white horse and the beast of the sea, this ruler. The most familiar name to us that we know is the Antichrist. And he opposes everything that Christ stands for. And the Bible predicts the return of Jesus Christ. And one day, the Lord is coming back in the air with his saints. And we call this the rapture. I don't know about you, but I believe in the rapture. And I believe God is coming back. And he's going to, the trumpet's going to sound. And those that are dead in Christ shall rise first. And then which we remain alive will be carried up to meet them in the air. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth, and one day he will rule for 1,000 years. But before all that, the Antichrist, He wants to be king of the world. I see this coming, seems like, in the things we see now in our own world today. It should fill our hearts with great anticipation at the signs that we see today coming up and the Lord drawing near all the time. Folks, let's look at the Antichrist tonight and see what the Bible says about him. It starts out in verse 3. Let no man deceive you. There's a lot of people in this world will tell you just about anything to deceive you. The Antichrist will deceive you, for that day shall not come except come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. There's two things that are going to happen: a falling away and a revealing of the unfolding of this man of sin. Folks, there's a great falling away today. It's happening in our society. When we in America have people to stand up in front of our as electors of the presidents of the United States and want to have killing of the babies after they're even born, well, that's a falling away in America. We just think and look, and it just shocks you how far we've come down instead of going up. When we have a homosexual that has a husband running for our presidency, and the other day he said, America can handle that. We've gone that far. We're over this. And I wanted to say, not me. I don't know who you're talking about in America, but it's not over for me. You know, I love people, but I just hate to see the sin in the world that we have today. And I'd be the first to welcome someone to come in and under the Word of God and hear the Word of God. But let's say it just tears down our America to have something like this. And see the people that will vote for something like that. Even the others, I'm not going to go into call in names. But you know what? It's just breaking down of America. We see a great falling away from God. And the Christians today we're being called all kinds of things, haters and everything else. Now, some say this an unfolding man of sin was Julius Caesar or Nero or Stalin or Hitler. But when you come to 1 John 2:18, it says there will be many antichrists who will come, and then the antichrist himself will come. And since Christ returned to heaven, there have been many antichrists operating in our world. And, you know, in the sense that they are opposed to Christ. They're opposed to Christianity. They're opposed to anything that the church stands for. Now, notice in verse 3, the description is given to the antichrist. He's called, let me get a little water here. Ever since I've had that problem, man, I run out of water. The man of sin, it's called, will be the culmination of all the evil and rebellion in the world. And the Bible says he will control and dominate of sin. The son of perdition, that means in his personality. You know, they're the seeds of his own destruction. In verses 8, it says the wicked one means the lawless one. He's nothing to do with what's right. He's what's to do with what's wrong. And friends, one of the most charismatic things at the end of age is what we're witnessing right now. It's happening all over our world. And as Christians, we better take a stand and do what's right in our churches, in our lives. And I believe a lot of it is just because we haven't done what God's asked us to do is the reason we see America slipping so far. Anytime you see, every time you turn on the news and watch, in New York, it was just the last week, cops were being targeted and assassinated in their own cars. And they say, we can't stop it, you know. That's just, you know, our you know, no respect for law in any way, form, or fashion. And the Antichrist, his character is lawlessness. There's no respect. I was just watching the other night on one of the shows, the news channels, how lawlessness takes over, you know, kids doing all kinds of things, you know, with killing people, innocent people, drive-by shootings and all of this. It just makes you sick at your stomach because you see that that's in America. It's happening in America today. And a characteristic of lawlessness, his card number is 666, someone said. The number has meaning. Six is the number of human failure. And the 666 is the trinity of failure. Folks, this is just a bad scene altogether here in 2 Thessalonians. The Antichrist himself will be an amazing individual. They say he will be charismatic, has a charismatic personality, a matchless speaking ability. Man. And he will whip the world into a frenzy by the power of his words. And we are told here in the Bible in verse 9, look at verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the works of Satan with all power, all signs, and lying wonders. Now Satan is the one who gives the Antichrist his tremendous power. Boy, he's out there all the time. The devil's not dead. He's alive and well. He's alive and well in our town. He's alive and well in our state. He's alive and well in the world. Don't you think it's all, it's going to get better? If you stand around and do nothing, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And it says, notice the rest of the verse, with all powers and signs and lying wonders. Those three words, except the word lying, are the words that are used to refer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when he performed miracles. He performed signs and wonders and power. So the lawless one wants to deceive people and make him look like that he's Jesus. Satan will use the power to imitate everything, the miracles of God. The Bible says that the Antichrist will have a personality. He will have a miracle done that very convincing to the world. Revelation 13:3, he seems to be killed and experience a miraculous resurrection. And people will see that. Can that happen today? The world will see it? Of course it can. Man, we've got all kinds of satellites and everything else. What you see happening over in China and everywhere else is happening. We can see it instantly right here in the United States on your television set. I never dreamed that would be true. You know, I talked to my son the other day from South Korea. On telephone, it's just like he's sitting there beside us, except I don't have to feed him. You know, that's a good thing. Think about that for a moment. Suppose someone famous is assassinated. He's got a charismatic personality, and he's speaking ability, and then he's assassinated, and then he arises as a resurrection or back to life. Think what that would do. It would be a sensation that he'd create to capture the hearts and the minds of his followers. And that's what the Bible predicts about the Antichrist, folks. I sit here thinking about a personality that was a charismatic speaking and talking and a life, and someone that might have been assassinated and come back to life that would have changed the things of the world. And that was probably been, as I best remember, when I was about 6 years, a sixth grader. JFK was assassinated in Dallas. What would have happened if he had been assassinated and died and then come back to life? Think about what would happen. Boy, all kinds of people would have followed him just about wherever he wanted to go. And the Bible predicts this of the Antichrist. He'll have his resume will be out of this world, folks, because this really is. He's Satan, empowered by Satan himself. And then look at the pictures of his reign. The Bible predicts the Antichrist will ascend to power. When God created man in the Garden of Eden, he gave man dominion over that garden. And he says, Adam, you're to rule that garden. But you know what? Adam sinned, Eve sinned, and they gave away that power. And now Satan is in control of this whole world. It's all because of sin. And then when the Lord was tempted in temptation by Satan himself, the devil told the Lord, if you'll just be willing, you know, if you'll just be willing to worship me, I'll give you all of these kingdoms. And Christ refused it. Ain't you glad he said, no, my kingdom is not of this world. Let me tell you something. What Christ refused, the Antichrist will accept. He will accept that. The whole scope of his reign of the Antichrist is he will reign politically. The boys, we're talking about, I haven't seen in America such a political mess that we have right now. It is a mess. And if the wrong people get in elected, it's probably ruin America. It will probably ruin America. But you know, he'll reign politically and he'll set up a one world government. Go back and you read in Daniel chapter 7 and 8 and 7, and it says that the beast had 10 horns. Revelation 13 says the Antichrist has 10 horns. And today we are witnessing the formation of something that can bring, in essence, a one world government. We're witnessing that, folks. Isn't it great to be alive? Rhonda probably gets tired of me watching Fox News, but I'm always watching, you know, see what's up coming up, what's going on. This man will have an international diplomat, and he will rule the whole world in this one world government. The Bible predicts he's going to rule the world not only politically, economically also. Revelation 13:16, he'll cause the world to receive that mark. And friends, he'll rule politically and he'll rule economically. Antichrist, it gets real serious. Revelation 3 verse 4 says they worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast. They worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto this beast? No, who is able to make war with him? No one. Man, he's ruling the world. See, it's a scary situation if you look at it, but also it's filled with anticipation as Christians, because I believe the rapture is going to take place one of these days, and we're not going to be here. We're going to be caught up. There'll be a one world religion, and the Antichrist will have a religious sidekick. Oh, he's what the devil wants. You know, the devil wants to be worshipped, don't he? His whole plan is to be worshipped. The Antichrist will have the power. He'll have a charismatic personality and a speaking ability that people just, you know, fall in love with. And an international diplomat, and religious in nature. And that'll be his throne to preach. That'll be his way of going. And the Bible not only predicts this, in 2 Thessalonians 4, it says he will sit in the temple as God. Did you realize what he said? He will sit in the temple as God. He makes this fatal mistake. The Bible says he will have a peace treaty with the Jews. Folks are working on a peace treaty right now. Isn't that scary? And I was told the other day they're all already wanting to build the temple again. And by the way, I read where they already got all the utensils ready to do that, made up. And I suppose they'll start back again with a priest administering. I don't know what they did in the Old Testament. They'll be doing that again, I believe. You know, they're supposed to be rebuilding all of this right now, ready as we even sit here today. We haven't heard about it, all of it. We have some of it. And friends, that's all in rebellion to the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary, he said this, "It is finished." Salvation's plan was finished. He made the final sacrifice for sin. We don't need to restart that old sacrificial system. Christ died for our sins once and for all. I love that hymn. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Now they'll rebuild a temple. And the Bible says during the middle of the 7-year treaty with the Antichrist, he'll give the order that he is God. I'm the king of the world, is what he'll announce. And the Jewish people will rebel and will gather together the armies, together for that final war in the Valley of Jezreel. We went there, you know what year it was? I can't remember past 2000. Eight? We went there, Doc and I and several others in the church went over there, and we stood up on top of that mountain and looked out across that valley. Man, that's a big valley. Where all the armies shall gather. They told us about that and how great it is. And God had it there for a purpose. For there, it's going to come to an end. You see, he's going to say, "I'm the king of the world." And the Bible says, "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True." That's Jesus Christ. Faithful and true. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name. I like the verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. That's us. I believe that's us, folks. And out of his mouth shall go a sharp sword, and with that sword he'll smite the nations. Christ is going to win. He's going to be the victor. Genesis tells us that Satan entered. You see? Revelation tells us Satan's exit. He entered in Genesis, he'll exit in Revelation. Jesus Christ is coming back, and indeed he will be the king of the world. Folks, if you don't know Jesus Christ tonight, what's happening all around the world, you ought to be looking at and thinking about seriously. If you don't know Jesus, you need to tonight. We're not guaranteed another day. We're not guaranteed the next year. We're just not guaranteed anything. But that one day, if you are in Christ, you're going to be with him. That's our security. That's where we are. That's by faith, trusting Christ. You know, I know that I have a home prepared for me because the Bible says so. At the end of this life, I'm going there. And I hope you'll go with me. I hope you'll go with me. You do that by following Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're here tonight and you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, would you come? If you know him tonight, then praise God. Praise God. And tell somebody else about him. We don't want anybody to go through this terrible time. We don't want anybody to miss heaven. Someone said, "What if there's not a rapture?" Well, if there's not a rapture, then I've lived my life for Christ. I don't have any regrets. I don't have any regrets. I will go through the tribulation, and then I will go to heaven with Christ. You see, we're winners either way with Christ. You don't have to really worry. I believe in the rapture. I teach it. But if not, then I'm ready anyhow, and I hope you are. I hope your faith will grow that you can say, "I am ready." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much tonight for your blessings. We thank you for this passage of Scripture. Just warns us. It says, "Let no one deceive you." And Lord, we are so easily deceived because most of the time we believe what we see instead of believing by faith. And Lord, faith is believing even if we don't see. Heavenly Father, I pray that we'll trust you as our Lord and Savior. We'll walk out of here and know that we're on the way to heaven. In Jesus' name, I ask it. Amen.